We've been talking in this series about why church and the habit of Christians of not being in church is kind of moving because of other things and going on and in your life and so on and so forth. And we've been talking about why to church. And God deserves a healthy church. Don't you think so? God deserves a healthy church. The second part of that is this. The world needs a healthy church. Because without a healthy church, they get the wrong message. Without a healthy church, they can't understand what the gospel is all about. It's just a bunch of, well, you know, people gathering to voice their opinion and so on and so forth. Without a healthy church, you are cheated. You deserve a healthy church. God has designed a healthy church for your benefit. Amen? And there are benefits about being in church. Right? And last week we talked about unity, the importance of unity. Without unity, the growth in the knowledge of God is stunted. Without humility, maturity is less likely to happen. Without unity, the fullness of Christ is never obtained. That's what the scripture says. And today we're going to talk about no longer infants. Look at your neighbor and say, I know there was a reason you came here today. Look at him again and say, I hope you're not a baby. But maybe you are my baby. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read this one verse here today. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Lord, in the next few moments, help us to concentrate on your word. Help me to proclaim it. Help us to hear it. But more than that, Lord, we want to be more than hearers. We want to be doers. Help us, Lord, to honor you. Honor you by honoring your word, by living it out. We need you, Lord. Help us. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is kind of like the third goal of the Apostle Paul in his analogy of the church. He gave pastors a call to unity, and then this, grow up. Stop being infants. How many of you know it's okay to be an infant for a season? Huh? I mean, infants come, and it's okay. And the beauty of church is this. You should always have infants, and you should always have the mature. There should be a bunch of people in the middle of all that at different ages. And notice what Paul says. We will no longer be. I'm glad he included that we part, because it's something all of us have always, or once in a while, have been, an infant. And if you're not careful, every now and then, infancy will crawl back on you. You will do something you wish you would have learned in playground, or maybe you learned in playground, but you forgot to keep playing it and doing it right. You know selfishness. You know things you fight over that really aren't that important. Our priorities can get all out of balance. And he talks about that here. You see, here's the deal. We all need spiritual growth. Now, listen to this. In the New Testament, there's all kinds of childish behavior that they talk about. In the first, it is childish to stress outwardly impressive gifts. Look at me. Look what I can do. Look what God did through me. Can I tell you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are what we call grace gifts. If you got them, you didn't earn them. If you receive them, and if God uses you in them, it is because of his grace, not because of your super spirituality. And there's no place for show in relationship to spiritual gifts. But we are very guilty as people who live in an entertainment world to allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be just mere entertainment. Help us, Lord. It's not about the person. It's not about the person. It's not about the person that God is using in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of who he is and what he does and what he wants to do in our lives that's more important than the flash. Amen. But in the New Testament, they were impressed with their spiritual gifts. We have to be very careful about that. Be careful. The second thing is this. It is childish in the New Testament to be led astray. Led astray. It's amazing. You know, kids' attention spans are kind of short. Well, there are some days mine are. Is. Something. What was I talking about? Yeah, attention span. You and I have to learn to focus on spiritual matters, about our own life. We can be led astray very easy. And guess who wants to lead you astray? Your flesh. And the devil. And the devil. I'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Here's the other thing. It's childish in the New Testament to only have an appetite for milk, to only be interested in baby food, the simple things in life, in Christianity. In other words, you never pick up the study Bible, you just read it devotionally. You never dig into why they said what they said and why they said it and when they said it and how they said it and what that meant. You just like the easy stuff. Can I tell you? We got to grow up. Amen. Grow up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says this, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready." I mean, that's pretty serious words from the apostle, don't you think? I mean, I gave you milk because you weren't ready for. You should have been. I don't know about you, but my spiritual growth has never happened the way I want it to happen. Look what he says. Because you're infantile, you're worldly. You're worldly. You're full of envy. What is envy? A desire for another's gifts, position, or achievements. You're full of strife, disagreements, and conflicts. Divisions. You're full of divisions, separations, dividing from one another. You know, one thing that children do, and do it very well, and that is this. They forgive each other. You know, it's amazing to me. They can be fighting one minute, and the next thing you know, they're just hugging. And you know what happens? We as adults lose that power to forgive. Help us, Lord. You know, there are some things you need to be childlike. No one comes to the kingdom unless what? Like a child. What does he say? A child should lead them. What does that mean? The simplicity of faith is amazing. And some people want to make faith so complicated. It's not that hard. But you do have to have a little effort. Here's the bottom line. It is a childish to stay a child. Some of you should have been, this is what the scripture says, should have been teachers by now, but you remain children. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. You can read it later. What happened? They were spiritually stunted. And how do you get spiritually stunted? Number one, you don't take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. You know, it's the pastor's fault because he doesn't feed me. It's the worship's fault. It's this fault. It's that fault. It's everybody else's fault. Can I tell you something? Coming into adulthood means you take responsibility for your spiritual life. I don't care how old you are. Because I've seen some pretty old people who were infantile in their faith. And I've seen some amazing young people who took their faith so seriously. They far surpassed many of us. Many of us. The other thing is this, not putting into practice what you've learned about the Christian faith, about the Christian life. You know, you're hearers, but not doers. You know, there is something about doing that makes you learn. There's something about doing that makes you understand why he said what he said. Because if you don't do it, you'll always be standing back on the side saying, I wonder why he said that. I wonder why he said that. But if you are a doer of his word and it gets a hold of you and you do what he's told you to do, you will understand why he told you to do what he tells you to do. Yeah. The other thing is you're an infant if you only listen to people you like. You know, that tickle your ears. And I'm not talking about tickling. I'm talking about verbally. They say everything you agree with. They never challenge the thoughts that you have in your heart and your life. Can I tell you? You should not be afraid of the truth. We are men and women of truth. Amen? Yeah. So Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, they are tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there. The infants, they're blown by every wind of teaching by cunning and crafting people who are deceitful in their scheming. What does that mean? It means this. Infants have no spiritual equilibrium. They're here and there, here and there, here and there, and there's no pathway to spiritual growth that leads to the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the appetite of the flesh and their own need and not the need of anybody else. That's why that baby cries. He ain't caring about mama's need. He's caring about his own need. And he gets wrapped around his own need. And God says, he's given you to church so you'll grow up in him and not remain an infant. It's okay for a season. Quiet. Infants have no balance, no hunger for truth to move them to the path of growth. Matter of fact, it's easier to be carried and coddled than to grow up and stand up in faith. And Paul says this, infants become prey to error, to people who want to manipulate the truth and manipulate for their own gain. So we have to move and learn to move beyond infancy. Amen? I need to grow up. You can tell me that. Pastor Larry, you need to grow up. Come on. Who needs to grow up? It's a we. Aren't you glad Paul put the we in there? Glory to God. We're all in the what? Same boat. And this is what he says. Listen, if you're going to move beyond infancy, it means you've trusted others to provide for you. You see, an infant trusts everybody to do what they need to do so that what? They can grow. They can grow. And before long, they don't need diapers. Too many Christians need diapers. Oh, let me put it this way. Too many Christians, maybe it'd be a better illustration. Too many Christians need pacifiers. Yeah. You got to grow. Here's what happens when you stay an infant. Because we had two children, and one of them loved their fingers, and one of them loved the pacifier. And there came a point when we knew that the pacifier had to go because it was damaging their mouth. It was messing up their teeth. Did you hear what I said? No. It was deforming their mouth. And that's what happens when you stay an infant and rely on everybody else. You get deformed. You become spiritually stunted. Yeah. You see, without trust, there's no spiritual growth. Without faith, there is no spiritual growth. Trust and faith are the same things. Matter of fact, one definition of faith is this. Faith is reasoning trust. It's not abandoning your mind to believe in a gospel that God raised Jesus from the dead. No, the facts are laid out there. Study the facts, know the facts, understand the facts. And when you grab the facts and believe the facts, you confess with your mouth and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. We all come the same way, through grace, through faith. Hallelujah. Now, the responsibility is that you don't stay a baby. God is counting on you to put your big boy pants on. Amen? You say that means you got to trust. Here's what they're discovering in your Bible. When you learn to trust, when a baby trusts the mama, it creates a social bond. Because there's an endorphin that gets released in your brain. Trust releases that endorphin that creates social bonding. And people, listen to me, people who have had trust broken in their lives have trouble with that bond.
That's right.
You know what that means? You need the mending of the Holy Spirit. Because listen to me, you can trust God. You can trust Him. So what happens when we trust is this stuff is released in our head that creates a social attachment and social interactions. It's amazing what God does with us. He grows us up. But we got to learn to trust. Amen? Yeah. So here's the other thing. Moving beyond infancy means you've let the Lord repair you, mend you, heal you from sin's scars. Aren't you thankful? He's a faithful servant. I mean, surgeon. To cut away the scars, the hurt, the pain, the tragedy of sin. Moving beyond infancy means you stop the blame game.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Eve did in the garden. How come you did, or Adam, he did it. God says, why you do this? Eve, that woman you gave me. It's not my fault. It's Eve and you, God. And we've been playing that blame game. Here's the best blame that Christians do. The devil did it. Satan's attacking me. Let me tell you something. Most of my trouble hadn't come from the enemy. It's come from my own stupidity. Most of my trouble has come from the way I've treated people, the way I should have didn't treat my wife. You hearing me? It's easy to blame Satan and pass the buck. The reality is, growing up says, I take responsibility. I did it. I messed up. Huh? Children are the most notorious for blaming others for their problems. If we just had another pastor. If I just had another spouse. If my kids, if. Listen to me. Stop it. God can help you. God knows how to grow you up. Listen, I know this without a shadow. Is the devil real? Yes. But there is a bloodline around me called the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the enemy cannot touch me. Glory to God. Stop giving him more credit than he's due. Why in the world would you want to glorify him who is in darkness? Stop it. There's a blood. The only way the enemy can cross that bloodline if you let him in. And if you do dark stuff, he's going to come in. If you do fleshly stuff, don't blame the enemy. Blame your own flesh. Grow up. Grow up. Hallelujah. The next one, moving beyond infancy means you've decided to be disciplined in the things of faith. How you grow up a kid? You discipline them. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, a child that's not disciplined is one who is not loved. Yeah. I know the discipline of the Lord. He knows how to love us, and therefore he disciplines us. Amen? I know this. You see, infants, when you choose to do that, you stopped making your life about the show. You see, the gifts God has given you rises up out of the disciplines of your faith. Out of the disciplines of your faith. You see, if they don't come out of the disciplines of our faith, they're just toys. And when we get upset and we get mad, we take our toys out of the toy box and we go home and play in our room by ourselves. And that's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants. But you and I have to be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. What does that mean? It's time to grow up. And that means you and I are going to put to practice the disciplines of faith. Guess what the first one is? Prayer. You got to pray if you're going to grow up. If you don't pray, you're not going to grow up. The spiritual discipline, not just praying on Sunday. It's every day of your life. And it's okay to pray more than once every day. I mean, you look in the Old Testament, they prayed what? Morning, noon, and night. Well, I don't know about you, but I've learned to pray a lot more than that. Prayer. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The second thing you got to do is devote yourself to Scripture. Love the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you're going to grow up, you got to pray, you got to read your word. Guess what else you got to do? Give. You got to learn to tithe. We have a strong church at Freedom Church. It's an amazing church. This is an amazing, but giving, tithing is our weakest thing. It's weak. You know, 3 out of the 5 pastors have part-time jobs. They have to work outside of ministry to provide for their family. Can I tell you what a burden that is on my heart? Kills me. Because the Bible says the workman is worthy of their hire. And the board and I have been working real hard trying to get them some more money. But this is our weakest link, tithing. That's the problem with being here on Thomasville Road. Everybody thinks we're a rich church, a wealthy church, and everybody thinks the wealthy are going to provide for the church. The truth of the matter is, the giving in the church is not done by the wealthy. It's done by the widows and their two mites. We've got to be diligent about giving. I told you there's two things that will get the church really quiet when the pastor talks about sex and money. Works every time. Malachi chapter 3, listen, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. Storehouse. Where's the storehouse? The storehouse is where you get fed. The storehouse is where you fellowship. The storehouse is the church. Jesus said it. Because I always meet these guys saying, Well, Jesus never told us to tithe. Yeah, he did. You just want to avoid the scripture that when he says to do it. Ready? Matthew 23, 23. It's easy to remember. Matthew what? Woe unto you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrite. You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And that's where they stop reading. See? You got to show love. Got to show mercy. No, look what Jesus said. Look what he says. You should have practiced the latter. What's that part? The tithe. The tithe. Huh? You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You see, they were good at the latter. They were given about tithe and all that because it made a big show in the temple. They had these big things. They'd drop money in and make a big noise. And it was just an amazing thing to give money in the temple because it was a show. How do you think Jesus knew the widow dropped in 2 mites? See? Yeah. You should have practiced the latter without doing that. So what they came to place, they were doing that and thought that that's all they did. And then they make up all kinds of rules that they didn't have to give to God because it was a holy gift unto God. And then they didn't have to help their parents or anybody else. No, God says, listen, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Huh? Well, Pastor Larry, you know, I just want to give my tithe to this and that. No, the Bible says the tithe belongs to the storehouse. Not to the baseball team. Not to your football tickets. Or your cable. Ouch. It says the storehouse. The storehouse. Hey, there's this guy. I can't even watch him on TV. It's this preacher guy. I don't even feel I could call him a preacher. Send me your tithes and you can join our church. He reads, we have so-and-so who had joined our church from Michigan today. I wonder how many funerals he does a year. Call him. See if he'll do your funeral. I doubt it. Because he's manipulating infants. Should we move on? The fourth thing you got to do is going to retire something too, and that's serve. You are not going to grow up unless you learn to serve. Until you put your hands to the lawnmower and start mowing the front yard. I mean, not here. I mean, you know what it is. I mean, when your dad made you mow the lawn, you kind of grew up. You sweated a little. If you're not sweating a little bit in church, then you're not growing up. I love this. John 13, Jesus said it. You know what he said? This is what John, you should read it later. It says this, and he knew the full extent of his father's love, and he picked up the towel. It wasn't until he understood the power of that love that he could serve in that love. We got a lot of people who are serving, but they're not serving in the power of love. They're serving for the show. Genuine love makes a huge difference. Can I tell you, you are loved by the Father. Amen. And can I tell you, that doesn't even just apply to the church. Please don't understand. If you're not serving your wife, I'll never forget it. Charles Cookman, the superintendent of North Carolina, came to my little church, and he was going to preach that Sunday morning. We're in my office, and he's wiping my corner of my desk. He's sitting there, and he says to me, I'm the pastor of this church, man. We've done really well. We went from 20 to 70. I was young back then. And he says to me, Larry, and I'm ready for the great spiritual question of my life, you know, because it's the district superintendent. Are you with me? Larry, I can still see him doing it. He sat on the corner of his desk. And he said, Larry, what are you doing to make your wife a success? See how quiet it is in here? Forgive me, Lord. I've been too worried about so many other things. Aren't you glad for people you can trust with a word to your life? Huh? The last one, serve after service. You know, Jesus tells us to serve because he served us. He washed his disciples. The last one is fasting. I'm asking you to fast tonight after service because I'm going to preach a little while. No. Fasting. Can I tell you, in America, fasting is probably the most neglected spiritual discipline. And you and I need to learn the practice of fasting. A meal a week, whatever. You see, moving beyond infancy, understand something. Spiritual growth takes effort. There's pain involved in faith development. There is a pain involved in muscle development. How many of you know that? Right. Have you ever lifted weights? You ever done any physical exercise? Huh? Yeah, there's pain in that. The same is true spiritually. The pain of developing a new process of thought. I hate when the word makes me change my mind. Your brain, train it. The Bible says in Romans 12, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's pain involved in spiritual development. How many of you know if you're going to grow spiritually, it's because you sacrificed. And sacrifice always costs you something. The willingness to give up the things that hinder your growth and cause deformity. You know, it took a long time for my daughter to give up her pacifier. She didn't want to give it up. She did not want to give it up. Now you know that Ben had the fingers. He did not want to give up those fingers right there. It's terrible when your dad's the pastor. And guess what happened? He got some kind of rash on his fingers, and it just took over his fingers, and he couldn't suck them anymore. Well, he did. It got in his mouth, and then he couldn't. It just tore him up. Why? Because there's a time to leave some things behind. Aren't you glad he left those behind? Sacrifice. The second thing is obedience. It's painful. Obedience is painful. Called to do the things you don't want to do. And then there's love. You cannot love without pain being involved. You can't love without pain being involved. I don't care how long you've been married. It gets better, sweeter, and amazing, more amazing the longer you're married. It's wonderful, but I'm telling you, love is painful. If you don't believe me, you just ask my wife living with me. Don't shake your head so hard. Here we go. Childhood is to be left behind. 1 Corinthians 13, 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. God help us to be men and women in the process of becoming what God wants us to be. This is what we know. He wants us to be infants for a season.